Wait, wait, stop, that's the one.
Welcome to Zenten Speaks, a show where I make new friends and reconnect with old ones. A show where everyone's stories may inspire you to tell your own story. In this podcast, we encourage everyone to get rid of shame, guilt, fear, doubt, and judgments for themselves and for others, and replace those with love, empathy, compassion, understanding, kindness, and to do your best in everything that you do. In essence, to get rid of things that no longer serve your well-being, to be true to yourself and be honest with others.
Yeah, and then they, like say for instance, you get a release date. You get a release date, they give you, what's it called, gate money. That's what they say, gate money. They give you $100, $200 of gate money. Here, go ahead. Now, you and I know both what they're going to go do with that money.
Wow, so they're trapping you.
That's all it is, man. That's all it is. They don't want us to learn. They want us to stay institutionalized, dumb to the fact that ain't no black man, no white man making no growing cocaine and drugs and making guns. They're not doing that in their houses or in their backyards. They got places where they're going to grow it at, and they know where they're growing it at.
Mm-hmm.
But yet and still, we, dumb to the fact, don't know what's going on, go out and purchase this and that, get caught, go to jail. It's like a circle. It's like a cycle.
Revolving door.
Like a revolving door, like my uncle. My uncle just got out, I say about 5 or 6 years ago, he did 32 years. When he got out, he didn't even know what a cell phone was. He didn't know how to use a cell phone. He told me, could you drop me off at a payphone? I said, Uncle, ain't no payphones no more. He been gone 32 years. Got a good handwriting.
Yeah, I lost that. I lost how to write. Which is not good.
You know, so it's a shame how the society is doing us, but yet you fellas teach us what's really going on in our own backyard. We can't go over to Afghanistan and these other places and build stuff and start a business. No, but they can come over here and get $100,000 grant.
Right. Yep.
You know, I'm speaking reality. That's why I tell my wife, watch the news, know your surroundings, know why the corner store on your corner has a different owner every 6 months.
Hey, why is that? I'm curious. What do you see?
I see is that they getting their family involved and taken from the United States. You know what I'm saying? The USA is us against. That's what it stands for. That's what I say. It's us against. USA. You know, and they coming over here just taking our money, man. They're taking us good jobs, and we got to pick and fetch and do all this. We doing all these illegal activities to get caught up, and all they had to do was give us the jobs that they're giving them. We can't go over there and look for a job. They're gonna kill us. They're gonna drag us through, and they just gonna send us through turmoil. I heard a guy one time I was working with when I was working a side job at 7-Eleven. He said something in Arabic, and I had a real good Arabic friend. His name was Akbar. And I asked him, I said, what did he say, Akbar? Come on, be honest with me. He said that the guy said, "We gonna turn the United States into a third world country," and I believe him.
How you think they're gonna accomplish that? What do you think?
Reason why I say that is that they coming over from everywhere freely. You know, they coming over freely. We don't know who these people are. They pretend to be good people because they want to live good like we live good. They want that. And once they get it, they get a grasp of it. Now they bringing the rotten apples of their family over to show them the good life, but they still rotten apples. You know what I'm saying?
Interesting. Since we're on that subject, I have a question for you. So why can someone from the Middle East create a store, Middle East or Asia, create like a corner store or a laundromat or whatever it is, but the black men in their own neighborhood are not doing that? What do you think?
I think that they do it because they know this is what they need to do. They know that this is a necessity. A laundromat and a grocery store is a necessity in a black neighborhood. It's a necessity because we got to keep ourselves, our clothes clean, and we got to put food in our bellies. So that's a necessity. They not going in the rich neighborhood and try to build no laundromat and no stores because the rich neighborhood, they use cleaners. And they going online, DoorDash. They not going in their neighborhoods and building those stores.
So my question is, how come a black person is not doing that in their own neighborhood?
Because they don't know. They're not being taught right.
Or even if they see it in their neighborhood, they don't know?
They don't know because they're so greedy. Is that the reason why I say that? Because they looking for something for free all the time. Like with the stimulus money.
So something to be done for them. And basically, like JFK says, ask what not your country can do for you, what you can do for a country, kind of a thing.
Exactly. The modern day black man, as I want to call him, they not looking to build nothing, they looking to take.
Right.
Just like I don't want to bring it up no more, but it was a shame to me. Just like when George Floyd got killed, what neighborhood did they tear up? They tore up their own. While they sat back and watched them tear it up and destroy. Now, 3 months later, you have to go in the rich neighborhood to go buy a gallon of milk for your baby. Because they taking their time to rebuild of what you tore up. You see what I'm saying?
And they may not even build it because, hey, if you tore it up, now you got nothing, right?
There you go. That's why the Mexicans was protecting their neighborhoods. Y'all not coming over here tearing up our shit because you told your people. They stood on it, and I understand that. Even though it was a fruit fatalities, which I didn't understand, but I understood now. I understand right now.
Oh, so what do you understand now that you didn't understand before?
Before, I didn't understand because I thought it was a race thing. You know what I'm saying? Brown against black. You know, that's how I was looking back then. But today, now I see. Like years have passed now, almost a year have passed. And them neighborhoods are still not rebuilt. The stores that tore up. But now, I see the Mexican neighborhoods still going on. They got the grocery stores still up because they need that in their community. They laundromats and they grocery stores so they can feed their bellies and their restaurants.
How do you think? So, by the way, man, I love you. I love talking to you. You're so real. And it makes me asking those questions because I want to hear your input. So, And of course, we know history, and we're both black men, and you older than me, so you've seen so much more than me, yeah. And you've been there in the rough side of... I haven't lived anywhere rough. I feel like my life is pretty easy, and I'm very grateful for that. But so, you know when they say the white man is keeping the black men down, what do you think about that statement? Like, how true it is in the percentage-wise? Of course, we know history, and that has been happening. But is it like a victim thing? What do you think?
I don't believe in that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't believe that. They can kick that shit out the window. Excuse my language. I don't believe in that. Because only person holding you down is you. We had the same teachers growing up. We have the same everything. The reason why I say that, my last time going to jail was, I want to say... back in 2006, when I got out, my man was already said, I'm not going back. You know? So, with all that said, the white man holding us down, no, you holding yourself down, brother. You holding yourself down. Now, if you want to stay stuck in that institutional life, go ahead. Meaning going back and forth to jail. You go ahead. That's your decision. Like it was my decision to be an addict. Only one holding me down was me, brother.
Mm-hmm. How about if someone say, okay, I get that part, but how about black people are not having their own laundromats or their own grocery stores or their own this and that corner stores in their own neighborhood? Wouldn't that be a sign of black people being kept down? If someone said that, what would you say?
You know what I would say? I would tell them, we had our chances and we lost it. Reason why I say that, because back when I was drug dealing, me and my partners, we had the money to go buy that store that was shut down. Did either one of us come and say, hey man, let's go buy that store? No. We was going to buy the flashiest cars, jewelry, and clothes.
Uh-huh. That's
what's going on right now today. It's like a cycle, man. It's going around.
Interesting.
The same Air Jordans that they wearing right now are here in 88 and 90.
You know what? You're so right.
Everything coming right back around, man. That's all these black men and women think about.
Uh-huh.
This is clothes, shoes, and cars, and having money. What you gonna do with that money?
Have you ever read books by Booker T. Washington?
No, I never read that.
All right, so he's my favorite, one of my favorite back like 100 years ago. And there was this other guy named, I forget his name. He was like opposite, like they were kind of somewhat rivals. And Booker T was the guy who was calling out the black people, even 100 years ago. Like, not even, like, you know, he went through, like, he was, like, very directly descended of slavery. And he was saying, hey, you pull yourself up by the bootstrap and you can do this. And if you don't have boots, you can do that, da da da. And he was being criticized a lot because he was telling black people, hey, even back then he was telling black people, the white man is not keeping you down. Of course, we cannot say that in a blanket statement 100%, because as we know history, especially 100 years ago, things were worse than they are now, of course. But even 100 years ago, he was where he was and he was saying that. So that tells us something. So what can you, how do you think the black man or the black family can do better? Like, what are some steps have you thought in your head that if we implement that you think we can do better in society and we can get some respect, basically, because we have no respect because we're not doing those things?
Well, first of all, you got to start with the home teaching. Teaching your kids about respect, because if they don't respect themselves, they're not going to respect nothing in life.
Uh-huh.
You gotta start at the home. That's where, and we have to have mothers and fathers in the same household raising their kids. That's where it got to start at.
Yes.
Not no school. School can only give you a tool. That's it. That's all they can give you. But the teaching comes from within, and that's the household. Teaching them about economics. Teaching them about learning how to read, learn how to count your money. You know, that's what I do with mine. Learn how to count and read. So I tell my daughter that all the time. Learn how to read so can't nobody tell you anything. Learn how to count your money so they can't cheat you out of nothing.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? It has to start with the home teacher. That way they can grow up and be powerful businessmen and women. You know, learning about what you want to be in life. Like my daughter said, she want to be a president. She want to be the president, next president. Learn about that. Learn about what you need, the steps you need to take. See, that's our problem in black communities. We're not teaching our kids, man.
Would someone say we're not teaching because we don't know, but we have Google in our phones? Like, I have a sister, and not just talking facts, not bad-mouthing anybody, but she would tell me that often, I don't know. And I'm like, you have Google. And I go on her page, I see what she's posting. World Stop Hip Hop. Stupid things on IG and TikTok. But you have a tool and you're not using it properly. So if someone says, we don't know, is that an excuse really? Right.
Can I give you an example of something? You remember that killing in Georgia? The three white men got locked up, and they killed the black man because he was jogging in their neighborhood.
Oh yeah, yeah.
The cameraman, the video guy, even got charged with murder.
Right. Well, did you watch the trial? I watched the trial. Yeah.
The trial. Reason why I brought that up is because you look on World Star Hip Hop, all you see is people videoing black against black fighting.
Yep.
You know,
and they're cheering that.
You know the reason, I was just going to say that. You know the reason why they not stopping that?
Because it promotes that.
Entertainment. They get paid.
Yeah, yeah. Oh my God, good point. Wow, I just connected it.
Yes.
Wow.
Not only that, they want us to do that, to kill off each other.
Yes, we'll have no respect. We can be at the bottom of the barrel, and they need that. Yeah, wow. I'm getting goosebumps.
Yes. But you see how they convicted the man for holding the video, making the video, they charged him with murder. He also got charged with murder as well. That is a lesson learned. That's a slap in our face. If, like me and you, these are slaps in our face, Zen.
Yeah. If I see I saw a guy getting mugged at the bus stop, and the first thing I did, I didn't pull up my phone. I went to a store because I had to do the first thing. I went because I feel like if I call 911, which I did later on, but I was like, they're going to take their time. So I went to a store. I saw the security guy, the detail guy outside who had a gun. And I was like, this is happening. And I do understand where he came from because I cannot, you know, like it is what it is. He said, I'm being paid to be right here, and I cannot, like, the affair on the outside is not my business. And of course, his livelihood's on the line. He could put that aside and do it, but I still understand where you're coming from. So the guy got mugged, and I call the police, and they show up. And every time I call the police, I get so annoyed and pissed off, and it makes me not calling each time because who they're grilling? Me. Not the fucking perpetrator. I was so pissed off. And they're asking me for my ID. Why am I doing here? And I'm like, what the fuck, dude? I just grabbed the person who did the mugging, who's probably ran away. And I'm talking like that right now. And I actually had a guest on my podcast, and he was telling me, like, I have some anger that I need to check. And the thing with me, you know, when the Bible says, be angry, but do not sin. Like, I do not put my anger into physical or verbal, but I do have this frustration of like life, like example, things like that. And that did not happen to me, but it happened to somebody being mugged and you not taking care of it. And you grilling me instead of doing your job. It's frustrating. And of course makes the normal person angry.
Yeah.
And it's like, and it sucks to say, hey, if I see something, I don't want to call the police. Like, ugh.
Now you feel like you've been mugged. That's how the feeling is. You feel like they harassing you, but you being a stand-up citizen for what you saw. You called, you doing the right thing, but they harassing you.
I don't understand, man. Like, when this stuff going on, I get a headache and I don't get it at all. I don't get it.
I can tell you the reason why they did you like that, Zen.
Someone could say because I'm black.
not even because you're black. The reason why, because they scared to do their job. They scared of, well, was it a black man doing the mugging?
No, it was two white people.
They were scared of what was the outcome on the other side of that.
So they wasted their time with me. Wow, I didn't think about that.
Exactly.
Yeah, I knew they were just lazy wasting their time, but I didn't think like, because all my thinking is like, why? The guy's getting away. Why do you need my ID for? Like, what?
Exactly.
Like,
you're giving them a description of who they need to be looking for, but yet they still harassing you.
Yeah.
Because they are scared themselves, Sam.
So they shouldn't be doing that job then. That's why they pull out a gun first.
Exactly. They are scared because they don't want to do their job. You gave them the tools to use. Did they use them? No.
And it makes people not want to call because, like, you know, in the black community, what they say, don't call the police. Every time I call the police, I remember I had a roommate and he even admitted it in court because we went to court. I had a friend over. He beat up my friend. And when I called the police with my phone and I waited outside and my friend is all like beat up outside on the porch. You know, the first thing when they got there, instead of asking questions, they're ready to book me. Like, it's kind of like they see a white guy beat up and a black man is standing next to them. Like, who beat up somebody and just wait around?
Exactly.
They're waiting to book me and my friend who's white. He's like, hey, what are you guys doing? Like, what the hell? And then we had to be talked out of that conversation. And then when I told them, hey, the guy's inside, he did it. And then that's when they relaxed. And because my roommate was white, they didn't even grill him nothing. Because my roommate apologized and admitted today. And they said, well, he apologized. Like, can we go now? Like, I was fueled. And I'm grateful. When I'm angry, I guess it's like, it's good, but it's bad. It's good because I don't act on it, like anything.
I was just going to say that you should be proud of yourself, Zed, because you could have, and I don't want to use these words, but I have to.
Yeah.
You should be proud of yourself, Zed, because you could have acted a motherfucking fool if you wanted to.
Right. And this is, but it's like, I've seen those on video. This is how people get shot, because I always say, when it comes to you and the government or the police, yeah, you can fight it and then you can be the martyr for something to happen. Fine. That's fine for history because, you know, it's fine. But if you want to live, you just got to do it the right way with the court system.
Yes.
They're going to drag it out. But, you know, if you're going to live, that's what you got to do. And so the way it's bad is holding on anger is that holding on that energy will manifest into a disease like a heart, whatever, and gut. And so I need to work on that. But it's like, and this is when I see people like running their mouths and acting a fool when they know they're gonna lose, I understand where they're coming from. But at the same time, I think it's good if they also is wise to not. And it made it worse because when they're like, who called? And it was my phone number. And they could not. Oh, my God. ugh, I'm going back to history now. Like, I was like, how, if I'm the one who beat up somebody, I'm the one who call on myself with my own phone and wait for that person. And then when they find out it was, I was just basically the witness, and they still couldn't believe it. And then they go like, he apologized, let him go, whatever. And when I went to get my, when I went to get the paperwork at the station for court, you know, they said he's the one who called. It didn't make no sense. This is why I do not trust any police report. And this is why cam is good. And you know, when they turn off their cam, and then you're like, why would you turn off your cam? It's part of your job. It's like, makes no sense. They said my roommate, basically they're like, basically like, I'm the one who called with my phone. So they said basically my number was his number, and he's the one who called. It's like, makes no sense. So that police report was shit. And then when I was fighting it, they're like, well, the police said it. It's like the police said it was like the Bible. Well, they wrote this, so it must be true. And what you're saying, it makes no sense.
Wow.
And I'm glad my roommate was dumb. He admitted it. So that's the only way. I was like, I'm like, I am the, how you call it, the witness. And now I'm on the stand as the fucking culprit. Like, what the hell?
Wow.
Makes no damn sense.
Makes no sense at all, man.
That's messed up, but I do my best to get out of, to not be in trouble, but it is what it is. So I'm glad. So you're in rehab right now. Do they have like therapists in rehab?
Yes, I go see my therapist every Wednesday at 1 o'clock.
Nice. Would you like to see them more often? Because when I was seeing my therapist, I felt like once a week was too long.
Well, the reason why we're doing it once a week is because I got a lot of meetings to go to.
Oh, okay.
I have outside meetings too as well. Like once our meeting's over with for the fellowship, we also get privileged to go to other outside meetings to go speak.
Mm-hmm.
Stuff like I go to Valley Center Church. It's good with a group of misfits. It's a lot of group of men who've been sober for over, each member has been sober over 30 and 40 years. So you're talking about a group of
veterans
50 or more that's been sober for over 40 to 50 years.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, you know, I'll be excited about making those type of meetings because I can get knowledge.
Yeah, and with the right, like a new... I call it a new entourage, not street entourage anymore. Yeah, that's great.
That's what I call setting yourself up with positive people, because you got doctors, lawyers, policemen, firemen, all of them in there.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know, sober and clean. And I want to know how they did it so I can attach that to my curriculum and I can teach it as well.
That's great. I'm so happy for you. Wow.
Thank you.
I see a great, bright future because you have drive and positivity, and that's amazing. I'm so glad. So you have the support you need. That is great. So what is your hope and goal for the future?
My hope and goal for the future is stay sober and clean. And, get all my children under one roof, because that's my goal. Under one roof so we can enjoy each other's conversations and learn more about each other. You know? Because I got three different baby mothers. And that's three different attitudes I have to deal with. So that means every time I go see one of my kids, I have to adjust myself to this attitude. You see what I'm saying? And I shouldn't have to do that. You know? So... I can't tell them to change themselves. What I can do is show them that I am changed.
Nice. That's so beautiful, man.
Yes. So that's my goal. And also, put myself in a position to learn more as well. Because I'm not through learning. You know, I want to learn what life has for me out here. I've only been out in California 3 years. Like I said, I come from the mean streets of Chicago, and everything out there to me was negative, you know. Now I don't have to look over my shoulder no more, Zan.
Oh, what a great feeling.
That's a wonderful feeling.
Nice.
Thanks. I don't have to sleep on the floor no more and spend $1,100 on a nice bed that I can't sleep in because of the bullets and the bullet holes coming through the window.
Wow.
I have to worry about that more. But I think about my kids every day because this is the environment they living in right now. So what I'm doing is setting a foundation to build a plantation.
So I'm curious, and I love your input about this. So we have those black leaders all growing up, like, I'm sure they've done something, but I'm like, all my life, I'm in my late 30s. So I'm like, so how does it take 30 plus years for these black leaders to do anything in the community? And when I'm looking around, I don't see the change. Like, what would you crave or you would want those black leaders to do? And if they don't do it, like, what do you think someone can step up to do? Because the same drama is still happening. Like, I just don't get it.
You know what, Zen? I learned to stop expecting things.
Yeah.
Just like when Obama made the president.
Oh, everybody, I thought there would be change.
Everybody thought that, but he was just a black face, brother. To keep things calm. That's all it was. If you notice, on his two terms, when he first started, he had all black hair. When he finished, he got salt and pepper hair. They stressed that brother, man, because he couldn't do what he wanted to do. He was still a follower. He was a follower. Like right now today, he's happy as hell. You don't see him getting up, making those speeches and doing what Clinton doing. He's not doing that. He's relaxing now because he's not a follower and a puppet anymore. See, these black leaders we got right now, they not in position to teach us nothing, Zen.
Yeah. Because I'm like, you've been around since the 70s. Like, what, yes. That's like 50 years? Like, come on.
And then when they do get too powerful, they kill them off. They, like Dr. Martin Luther King, for example. Malcolm X, for example. They kill them off because they couldn't control or puppet these men.
Uh-huh. Okay, I see now.
And they was free to teach us how to walk the walk and talk the talk. And do the do's and don't the don'ts. That's what they was free to teach us.
So that's why they ain't doing nothing, because they're afraid of their death, basically.
That's right.
Okay.
They're afraid to die. They're afraid to die. So they chose to be a puppet and accept whatever that they dish out for them. They don't want to teach us nothing.
Wow, that's actually a tough pill to swallow. It's kind of like you rather mislead your own people for your so you can keep on living. And I feel like that's hell. It's kind of hell, like, yeah. Selling your family, and then you know they're being used and raped around, and then you're just watching it so you could live. That's hell. I'd rather die.
They at home in a $100,000 homes. Wow. We still in the projects. But you're supposed to be helping us. You pulling up in motorcades and limousines, promising us something that we'll never see.
Yeah, I don't watch these people and I don't support them, because I'm like, show me the work. Like, you done talking since the 70s. I don't know if you saw the video with Aubrey's father when they were trying to kick him off the stage because he was basically telling people, hey, like, we need to get together, blah, blah, blah. And then how those leaders ain't doing nothing, and they're like, okay, hush, hush, move along.
Yeah.
I was like,
that's exactly what happened. That's exactly, and I got frustrated, Zen.
Yeah.
I got frustrated. I turned the TV off.
Yeah, when they come up, I don't watch them either, because I'm just like, okay, I'm young, and I know you like twice my age, and you done nothing. Like, I'm not saying I've done anything either, but I'm not a leader either. So
exactly. But you got a voice, and your platform that you have right now, Zen, you have a voice and your platform. This podcast, I want to say to you, thank you. Because this is what I've been wanting to do for the longest, man. Just didn't know how to do it.
Mm. And thank you as well for coming on the platform, and you're welcome. And I'm waiting for the goal you told me about when you do it, and when if you ever need someone to talk to you, or like I'm not promising anything grand, but I'll do my best to like be there, my ears, my mouth to talk to, and if I can find a resource, like whatever, like I want to be there as a part of the community, because I am done with the fear. Like I've had fear of like other people. They teach us to fear other people. Why? Like, why? Like, I'll walk up to people and say hello and say hi and my name is and smile, and people are so afraid. And you know what? I'm still going to be doing that. And your fear is yours. And I can say hi to people. I don't need to believe in stranger danger. I actually believe that's a small population. That's not the whole population. Because most of us wants to be seen. We want to be loved. We want to be heard. And we want to be seen like another human being with emotions, and not some like person to be afraid of, like a monster.
That's right.
I'm tired of that.
You know, and you should be tired. What today stops all your fears, Zed?
Mm-hmm.
Everything. Continue speaking. Continue having that heart, that free heart, that free will. Continue doing that. Because at the end of the day, God taught you to walk with faith, brother.
Yeah.
Ain't nothing wrong with that. Nothing at all. Because at the end of the day, this is your life. You don't have to judge other people and just because they feared and they scared. Mm-hmm. What you fear to scare them? We got the same blood running through our veins. We just got different skin color.
Right. And as the Bible says, God says, walk with me, do not fear.
Do not fear.
Yep. Yep. So the last question is, what made you tell your story today?
What made me tell my story today, Zen, is because I was tired of being sick and tired.
Hmm.
Just knowledge needs to be told, not sold.
Hmm. Nice. I like that quote.
You know, because they got a lot of knowledge in these books, which we have to pay for, but it needs to be told, not sold, brother. And, you know, and knowing about, like me, I know about my addiction now. You know, I know about the reason why I was using and abusing. Because this is what society wanted us to do.
Yeah.
They call us guinea pigs. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of us out there, man.
And I don't know if you notice in your, well, probably you can tell me, a lot of my life, I've been proud to call myself straight edge up until last year when I experienced some stuff in 2020 because of peer pressure and people that I, you know, and you know, the wrong crowd, getting with the wrong crowd. But all my life of like almost 40 years that I've stayed away from the wrong crowd and basically not letting people to pressure me. But I've noticed something occurrence that happened. People love to pressure you. And if you don't do the drinking, you don't do the smoking or the weed thing, then they label you as a weirdo. And they call you like, they call you all these names. And you're not a man. You're a weirdo. And you're a sissy. And because you're not doing all the hard stuff like men do. Put the drink to have hair in your chest and things like that. And I feel like the big guys who put people in jail, they're doing it, first of all. And second, they put you in jail for doing it because you're the below them. And so, and divide and conquer. They're letting your peers shame you if you don't do those things. I've noticed that because my peers have been shaming me almost all my life because I don't drink and I don't smoke and I don't do that. And I'm like, why are you shaming me? You're doing it. You're having fun. Have fun. Why do I need to join you? And me, I'm a hardhead. If you're gonna force me, you're gonna shame me or force me to do something, there's a red light that comes up to know why. Why is that so important for you? Why is my life so important for your life? Which makes me like not doing those things. But I did those things last year because I went through some depression, and I wanted to be close to somebody. So when they say, hey, this is how we get close, you know, I was at a low point and I did it. And so, but I've learned from that and I've risen from it since like June. So, yeah, lots to learn.
Yes. And we still learn it. That what you said, to answer your question to that, they want you to take the coward way out like them because they scared of being alone when they doing what they doing.
Oh, damn. Wow.
They want to bring somebody down with them. You do it by yourself, brother. If you want to cross this line of happiness and greatness and come on over here on this side, be willing, brother.
Yeah.
But you got a lot of work to do. You got a lot of work to do. Because at the end of the day, it don't stop tomorrow and it didn't end yesterday.
Wow.
You see what I'm saying?
Wow.
It's a lot of work. It's a lot of work to do. Mm-hmm. In the 62 days I've been clean, I've been over 200 meetings, 200 groups. It's a lot of work. They don't want to put in the work because they're scared.
Mm-hmm.
They're scared of what people say. Just like you say, oh, you a punk, you a cow, you a, yeah. I'd rather be all that you're telling me, and I'm gonna be still living here.
Right, right. Yeah,
we know you to convert, my brother.
Yeah. Wow, Maurice, this has been a powerful conversation. Like, I've had many conversations and of course I love all of them and I'm grateful for all my guests, but this one got like goosebumps like the whole time. And this, I have no words, just thank you. And I appreciate you so much. Wow.
Ain't no problem. Anytime, brother. Anytime you need me to get on your fucking or speak with anyone, anytime, Zen. You got my number, got my Facebook page. Hit me up. I'm willing, brother.
Well, yeah, I would love to definitely get updates in a couple of months. And because I feel your energy. You have great things and you went through where you went through for a reason and God had a purpose for you. And now you are ready. And it. Yeah. So can't wait to see all the good progress you're going to do. Is there
my job is not done, Zane. I still got work to do.
Definitely, know? Definitely.
Still got work to do.
Is there anything else you want to say before we leave?
I want to thank you for giving me the opportunity again. Speaking in general to all my brothers and sisters out there that's having problem and trouble with addiction. Just want to let them know, just if they get the help that they need, just take it one day at a time. That's the main goal. Do not try to outdo yourself or outthink yourself. Just be mindful of your decisions and the people you keep around you. That's all I got.
Right. All right, everyone. You heard it here today. So thank you again, Maurice, for being here with us, telling your story. And hope you got inspired by hearing this. And if you want to tell your story as well, please message us on Zen 10 Speaks and let's chat. Thank you again, Maurice, and have a good day.
You too as well, Zen. Thank you for the opportunity.
Definitely. You're welcome. Bye-bye.
All right.